Welcome to the Everyday Ironman podcast, where we talk to real athletes just like you and me that are working to achieve an incredible goal. My name is Mike Bosch. Wait, no, that's not right. Ashley Rains. And I am here with our esteemed guest, our infamous, fearless leader, the Mike Bosch, to interview him about his experience at Oceanside 70.3 this last weekend. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I am doing great. And I got to be honest, Ashley, this is really weird. I've only been on this side of the microphone, as they say, one time before. But this is actually a new twist because I've had so much technology issues. You are, in fact, in total control. I sent you the login and the password and everything. So I am getting the complete guest experience on this episode. And I got to say, I'm super excited about it.
Awesome. Me too. I will try not to sabotage things.
No, you're going to do great. And I just want to say, first of all, I have a few thank yous. I want to go ahead and just acknowledge them and get them out of the way. So first of all, thank you for offering to host this special edition of the podcast, because it is very, it's very hard to talk about an experience with by yourself. And so I've done that in the past. It didn't go super smooth. Jenna was able to help me through my Oregon experience. And so you offered to do this for me, and I really appreciate it. I want to thank my wife for all of her support and putting up with all of my shenanigans. But I would be remiss, Ashley, if I didn't extend a special thank you to a couple people in particular. So Brian and Monica Valparaiso hosted me in California, and we'll talk about it throughout the podcast, I'm sure, because we're going to, you know, walk through the experience. But they were just amazing. They were very generous, very kind. I can't thank them enough. And then, of course, Kristen from Pure Ride Cycles was so very generous, really came into clutch. And some of those things will come up later on in the podcast, I'm sure. But I wanted to make sure that I went ahead and got those out so I didn't forget before we got started. So there we go. Those are my initial thank yous and how I'm feeling.
Awesome. Great. And of course, you're welcome. I'm happy to do this anytime. Okay. So let's get into this. Tell me about logistics and travel, and how'd you get there? When'd you get there? And all those little details.
Yep. Okay. So that's a great point. So on the podcast, leading up to it, I did talk about a few things, and there, at one point there was a concern that I was actually going to have to go to, Alabama, the race week. And that was changed pretty early on. The project that we were working on wasn't ready, and so I didn't have to worry about that. So I made plans to fly out on Tuesday. I flew to California on Tuesday evening. So I got my bike all packed up. I weighed it. I bought these special new padding for it, so I wasn't using bubble wrap and zip ties and pool noodles anymore. So I was feeling pretty good. But I do have to say, if I'm being completely honest, I did really push the limit this time. So I have a luggage scale. And I knew before I headed to the airport that the bike was over limit, right? And I knew that it was over limit by a fairly considerable margin. So I had the bike box. So I had the bike all packed up with the wheels, and anything that looked like a weapon was in the box. And then everything else was packed in either my transition bag, which I'll use as a backpack, and then my small roll around suitcase. So that's all I took with me to California. When I got to the airport, I was over the limit. I was considerably over the limit. I was 58 pounds. And I asked the nice American Airlines worker lady, and I did the best job I could of acting surprised, Ashley. I was like, how could that be? I waited at home. I don't understand. And she just looked at me unimpressed completely. And I said to her, well, what do I do? And she said, well, you can either pay the $100 or you can go over there and try to figure out how to make it lighter. And I was like, okay. Being the frugal flyer that I am.
I tried.
I went over, I unpacked it, and I was literally taking parts out of the box and putting the parts on the scale to try to figure out how much weight I was removing, because it takes a little bit to pack it. I took everything out that I could. I got it down to 53 pounds. I thought I could go through a different line. I drug my bike back up there, and they're like, no. She was waiting on me. She goes, no, I got you. Come over here. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding. So go up there. I put it on the scale, and she looks at me and she goes, it's 53 pounds. And I was like, that's the best I can do. Like, I can't make it any lighter than that. And she just shook her head. She goes, all right, just take it. She put a little tag on it. She goes, just take it over there and drop it off. Right. So
Oh.
that was it. But I did manage to leave my air tag in the box. So I was able to track it the
Yes.
entire time, which that was awesome.
So it was
And
not
then,
in your backpack.
no, it was not in my backpack this time.
Big, big win.
Yep, for sure.
We're already
Then we
ahead.
already had, then we went on a 2 hour delay. And of course I'm texting Brian because
Oh.
I had a 7 o'clock flight originally out of DFW. So I'm texting Brian, we're bump. Everybody else is panicking. They actually put us on a different plane. Our plane had a mechanical problem. There were a couple of people like, I'm not getting on that plane. So we moved to another plane. And then the flight is pretty uneventful. Brian picks me up at the airport. I fly into Orange County, which is south of Los Angeles. He took me to his house. They have a beautiful house that they've remodeled. Met Monica for the first time, the boys, and they have these two dogs, which just are super super nice. So shout out to Sydney and Phil, their two dogs, because they took me in as well. So yeah, so
Awesome.
that was my Tuesday, actually. That was just
That was
Tuesday.
just two. Okay, quick question. Are the dogs avid listeners of the podcast?
I think they are. I think they're avid listeners, and they both, because you know I have a dog, and so I can communicate. They asked me about being Patreons, and I was like, "Hold on, we're not quite ready for Patreons, so calm down with all that. We're just having fun. We're just having a good time. But we appreciate the love and all that stuff." But yes, they gave up their basically what they did actually is they gave up their room for me. Brian
Wow.
and Monica have a an office area with a like a fold out bed type of thing, and that's where the
Wow.
dogs normally stay. And so they gave up their living quarters
Wow.
so that I could stay there. Yeah, so it was
What
very, very, very
sacrifice?
generous.
So
Yeah, very
hospitable. Very
hospitable.
hospitable dogs. That's
Couldn't ask
amazing.
for more. Yeah, couldn't ask for more. Got to bed, got up the next morning. Brian had worked it out to where I was going to take my bike to Pure Ride, and they were going to help me put it back together. So I was supposed to be there at 10. Everybody else had to work. And so Brian left me Monica's car, and just said, "Hey, be at Pure Ride at 10. I'm going to go in early. I'll meet you there." So I found myself like everybody, I was up. I met everybody, talked to everybody before breakfast. I talked to their two sons. And then I was there all by myself. I managed to find the toaster after opening the 47 cupboard doors in their kitchen.
I hope they have cameras.
I think I put the peanut butter back in the right spot in the pantry. I'm not 100% sure. I did wash my knife after making my bagel. And then it was off to Pure Ride. And I got to be honest with you, Ashley, it was such an incredible experience. And I was telling my wife, Diana, this earlier, I think. I pull up to Pure Ride and I get there right at 10. I mean, I timed it perfectly because, you know, California traffic is so predictable. I don't know if you've driven there.
No, I avoid that intentionally.
Okay. Well, I get there right on target, like right on time. I didn't want to be that person that is like gets there right as the business opens and I'm like banging on the door where they're still trying to like get the cash register set up or make the coffee or whatever. So I sat in the car, right? So I sat in the car for a few minutes. I was checking my phone. I look in the rearview mirror and I notice they're standing at the doorway waiting. And they obviously recognized Brian's car when I pulled up. So I get out of the car, I walk towards the shop, and you know, the typical business greeting of, "How are you today, sir? How can we help you?" Right? That's what you would expect. That's not what I got. I got, "Hey, Mike, how's it going?" That's how I was greeted at Pure Rides Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So they were
That is
totally
legit.
expecting me that way. Now, I mean, you couldn't ask for better, right?
No.
So we get the bike in, we get it clamped on the stand. I mean, you know, do you need a beverage? Anything? No. So Jesse, the bike tech, put my bike together. And you know, Ashley, I'm a car person, and so I've told a couple people this story. There's like a joke sign that goes around, and it says "mechanical service a particular dollar amount, right? And then if you want to watch for that mechanical service, it's another amount more than the second. And then if you help, that's exactly what this was like. Like I was trying to help, and Jesse was super kind, and he never said, "Hey, bud, just stop." He put up with all of my like wrenching and twisting and getting in his way. But yeah, he did a great job, get it all put together. He cleaned and ceramic coated my chain.
That's amazing.
Which is so smooth. Yeah, he adjusted my front derailleur and he adjusted my rear hanger, which was a little out of adjustment. And so, yeah, I mean, just couldn't ask for better, right? And then,
that's amazing.
If that wasn't enough, Ashley, Kristen comes over and says, and now I want to, before I say this, I want to make sure that I don't set unreasonable expectations. I don't think she could afford to do this to every person that walks in the bike shop that says, "Hey, I host a podcast or I listen to the Every Ironman podcast." So I don't want to set an unreasonable expectation and drive her out of business. But anyway, she comes over to me. She says, "Hey, I want to give you a new kit to represent the bike shop," right?
That's amazing.
She gave me a Pure Rides cycling jersey, full zip jersey, which will, that part of the story will come important to the story later. And then a pair of so smooth of the material, I can't even describe it, bib shorts, which I've never worn before. But they're like the Pro Series, and they are so smooth and so soft. They're the nicest cycling shorts I've owned for sure.
That 100%. Is awesome.
Yeah. So
that's
she.
So and I, awesome.
And I tried to tell her, I was like, "You don't have to do that." And she's like, No. I want to." So just the kind of generosity that I was that I experienced this weekend. Now my experience may not be typical. I'm just pointing that out, right? But
well,
yes.
I mean, you are celebrity status, so.
I was getting the celebrity treatment. There was no doubt about it, right?
For sure.
Yeah, so we got the bike. There was a little bit of some pictures taken. There was a little press, you know, we did a little presser, some photos. And then Brian and I drove down to ride part of the bike course. Now, actually, I know you and I've talked a little bit, but for the listeners, the bike course for Oceanside is on Camp Pendleton. And so the majority of the course you don't have access to. So we rode what was available to us. We rode for about 45 minutes. We did an out and back twice from where we were parked. Gave me a good sense of some of the trickier areas that we could at least get access to. There was a pretty steep decline, and then there was a single file. And then Ashley, there can only be what I would describe as a gate in the fence the size of a door in your house. Like if you've ever tried to ride your bike through a doorway in your house at speed, that is what we experienced. And I had a certain level of anxiety about it. I'm not going to lie.
Rightfully so. Yes.
Not going to lie. So yeah, so we got that done. And then Brian says, because now we're probably 2:30, 3 o'clock, right? Brian says, which is different for me. So it's like my 5 o'clock because I'm 2 hour difference internally. Brian says, "Hey, are you hungry now?"
We missed the math there. If it's 2:30, it's 4:30 your time.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Sorry about that. I'm not great with numbers, but I'm 2 hours off. So I'm much later in the afternoon. And I was like, "Yeah, but I only had my cycle shoes," right? I was like, "Well, I didn't bring any other shoes." He goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's California, buddy. No problems." We literally went into a Mexican restaurant. Now I'm not going to say the name because it may be against a health code violation in California. It may or may not. I don't know. We went into this Mexican restaurant with no shoes on, and they didn't blink an eye.
What?
They did not blink an eye. They didn't have the no shirt, no shoes, no service sign was nowhere to be seen. I walk into this because, you know, I don't wear socks. I don't wear cycle socks.
Yeah.
I walk into this Mexican restaurant barefoot, Ashley, in a cycling kit. Now, professional looking cycling kit, for sure. Sat down at a table, got great service, great food, no problems.
And Brian was barefoot too?
Brian had socks on, but no shoes. And he was like, "Yeah, but," he goes, "this is California. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be a problem."
Wow.
Yeah.
That, so, wow.
I know, right? It's just amazing. And then we took the we did the 2 hour drive back to his house because now we're hitting California rush hour traffic. Lots of cars on the road out there, lots of cars. I think we had pizza for dinner. I had a piece of pizza and then to bed, right? So that was Wednesday. Thursday took a turn on me, Ashley.
Oh, we're frozen again. Oh, you're back. You're back.
Okay. Well, hey, we're probably going to make a note in case we have some in case there's some glitch in the audio. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're working through.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Thursday, I wake up. I'm not feeling so great.
Uh-oh.
We get everything packed up. It's Brian, myself, and Monica are heading down to Oceanside. It's about an hour's drive. We had made plans through text message. We were going to meet Rick Crippen, who is a former guest of the show, for an open water swim practice, because we all had, I say we all, Brian didn't, but Rick and I had an anxiety level of doing the wave entry, right? So I don't know if it was a combination of not eating breakfast, travel catching up with me, or the anxiety, but driving to Oceanside, I was not feeling real great. Like my stomach just started that queasy feeling. I had a headache where I couldn't keep my eyes open. And to be honest, Ashley, I've been processing some things that have gone on in my life lately. But all of those things were piling up to where I was honestly considering not starting the race.
Oh my gosh.
And I had the opportunity to talk through with a few friends through social media and what, you being one, about how I was feeling, and of course, nothing but encouragement. So obviously thank them for that. Monica was able to get me some. She had some Advil, always on the ready. She's a great Sherpa. She had Advil on the ready. I got some breakfast. They made the decision to change the swim course. All of these things impacted how I was feeling at this point. We got the notification that the swim course was going to be rerouted because the waves were too tall, and the risk of pushing either an athlete or a support team into the rock jetty was too high, and so they changed that. So
Oh my God.
I started feeling a little bit better
Good.
our Thursday afternoon. Okay,
Good.
so I'm checking my notes to make sure we're not missing anything super critical. I think we're doing great, right? So we met up with Rick in Athlete Village. I think he had already checked in. We made our way over to the Iron Man tent. And I'm not the Iron Man tent, the TriDot tent. And I bought Mike Riley's book, got his autograph, and then Rick made arrangements with Mike. Rick had a picture made with him, I believe, in Iron Man California when he did Iron Man California. So it was Rick in his wetsuit with Mike Riley, and he had printed it on an 8x10. And he asked, and Mike Riley was very accommodating. He would absolutely autograph it
Of
for
course
him.
you
So
would.
Rick was super excited. So while Brian and I went to check in, I think Rick went to get his autograph picture out of
Very
his
cool.
car.
Have you read his book? Have you read Mike's book?
I haven't yet heard
Oh
good
my
things
gosh.
about it, but I have it in my possession. I will read it.
The first 70 pages, I probably cried 55 of those pages.
Oh, really?
It's
Oh,
very
okay.
emotional. It's very emotional. Very good.
Okay. And for anybody out there who hasn't read it or happened to be an audiobook listener, I heard because he was talking about he actually does the voice for the audio version. So if you download Mike Riley's audiobook, it's his voice that he'll read his book to you, which will be super cool. So
That is super cool. Yeah,
I might
that's
actually
worth
do that.
it just to hear him say over and over again, so and so, you are an Iron Man. Totally worth it.
So Thursday night, let's see what happened. We did a shakeout run. So Brian and I did a shakeout run on course, and then we went to dinner at a local like a tap house thing.
Okay.
So it was Rick, Monica, Brian, and myself. So we had a great dinner, great company.
Were shoes worn?
I wore shoes. Yes, I did. I think I was wearing shoes at that point. I might have had flip-flops on, but yeah, it wasn't barefoot. That's a great question. It was not barefoot. And then really started talking about race or my race plan. And I think at this point, Ashley, I was really starting to recognize that my original race plan was not going to cut the mustard in this race. And so I was really starting to figure, okay, well, what was my plan, right? And so at this point already, I'll just give you a really quick recap of the things that I changed. I was initially going to wear calf sleeves, tri top, arm sleeves under my wetsuit, and then
Okay.
come out of the water, strip them down. But the air temperature and the water temperature was so low, right? So 47 degree
Oh.
predicted air temperature, 58 degree predicted water temperature.
Oh.
I was like, that is not going to work, right? So I knew I was going to have to dry off completely. And so one of the first things I changed was I elected not to go with the tri jersey that I brought because it's a quarter zip, my tri-dot jersey. And I elected to wear the Pure Ride cycle full zip jersey that Kristen had given me, right? So that's
Awesome.
the biggest change. Now, at some point throughout the day, I think it's when we got to Oceanside, Ashley, I realized that one of the caps for my Garmin power meter pedals was missing. Now, I have trouble with them. They don't fit real tight, so I wrap them with like thread tape. And one of them came loose and was gone, right? So
Oh
now I'm starting to calculate, okay, I'm not going to be able to race by power. What are my options? So I have,
no.
is it perceived effort? Is it heart rate? So I was going to go with heart rate. So now, and I'm just going to be honest because this question has come up a couple of times in the everyday Ironman.
Oh no, you're frozen again. Oh. You're back. You're back.
Okay.
Yep, the question has come up a couple times.
Yep, it's come up a couple of times in the Everyday Ironman podcast Facebook group of what shoes was I gonna wear, right? And
Yes.
so it was at that moment I decided not to wear my carbon shoes. I said, you know what? I brought my trainer shoes. I'm gonna save the wear and tear on my carbon shoes. I'm going with my trainer shoes, right? The weather's not conducive, too many changes. I'm just gonna go, I'm safe bet, trainer shoes,
Safe.
right? I did the shakeout run in my trainer shoes, okay? So that is my plan. Okay. So Thursday night, go to bed, wake up Friday morning. I'm scheduled to work the tri-dot tent from 9 to 10.
Okay.
Okay. Brian drives me down, drops me off. I get over there, and everybody's just getting set up. So it's, I'm going to give you some names, Ashley, and you're not going to know most or two of them, but it's fine. But Brandy
Yeah.
Ramirez and Kurt Madden are there along with Mike Riley. And we're just getting everything set up. Now it's raining at this point, right? It's raining.
Gross.
And it's not just sprinkling, it's not spitting, it's raining and
What fun.
lightning. Yes.
Lightning and you're putting up a tent?
Yep. So I get there, I show up, I introduce myself to Brandy, I introduce myself to Kurt. Kurt says, "Hey, have you met Mike?" I said, "Yep, I met Mike yesterday. He autographed my book." Okay. So we're getting stuff situated. I'm talking to Kurt Madden, who is a very well-respected athlete, has done a ton of races, knows a ton of people. Kurt is talking me through like a race, kind of give me a race preview. And all of a sudden, I hear Mike. I turn. Mike Riley is hollering at me because I'm standing on the extension cord that he's trying to move.
Oh
But he remembered my name,
it is his
right?
name, but we
I
won't talk about
know. But
that
still, I was like,
part.
oh my God, he remembered my name. That
Oh,
was so
that's
cool.
amazing.
Yeah, so Kurt has me pull up my performance numbers. He says, "What are you going to average on your bike?" I said, "I'm shooting for 170 watts." He said, "That'll put you about a 320 bike finish," which I was like, "Oh, that's way longer than I thought, but whatever. That'll come important later." And then Tim O'Donnell and Miranda Carfrae show up with their three kids in
Oh my
tow.
gosh.
They start talking to Kurt Madden. I get the opportunity to get a picture with Tim O'Donnell. I get to tell him my story of where when I met him in Chattanooga, which if you hadn't heard my race recap from Chattanooga, I had the opportunity to exchange well wishes and good luck on race day with Tim O'Donnell. So he laughed at that story, or at least he laughed at me telling him the story. I'm not 100% sure. He was laughing at the end of the story. We'll just say that,
Because
right?
it's a funny story.
It was a funny story, and he seemed amused. Yeah. And so then after that, I went back to the house. I got my pedals cal. Oh, again, comes in clutch. Kristen hears that my power meter pedal is missing. She pulls one off of one of her bikes and sends it with Lisa, who was coming down to the house Thursday night because Lisa was part of a relay team. Kristen
Oh
was
my
coming
gosh.
down Friday. She hit the pedal. Sent the pedal cover cap down. So I was able to get the pedals hooked up. I was able to get them recalibrated. Yeah, right. And
This is why the
then
tri community is the best.
I know, I know. So I did not want to forget that. So I made a note. Went over and Brian had a work call. So after he was done, we went over and met Team Elite, which is his triathlon team, for a team lunch. They were super accommodating. But Ashley, it started to hail while we were at
Oh
lunch. It started hailing. Now, for anybody in the world that doesn't understand what that means, that is basically a meteorological event where hot and cold air it pushes the rain back up into the cold air until it freezes and becomes heavy enough that it falls to the earth and ultimately does damage to what it comes into contact with.
yeah,
Now, it was
it's
it's
ice
ice.
falling from the sky is what it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was small hail, but it was hail nonetheless. That's how much rain and cold we were getting. Okay, I'm gonna take a breath. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I don't think I normally talk this much on the
I don't know. Your listeners might beg to differ on
Yeah, they might. Yeah, they might differ. So
that.
anyway, yeah. So after that, we got the bikes checked in. Monica was giving me a really hard time about not doing the practice swim, so I made a point of going over, walking over to the beach, walking down to the water, putting my feet in the water. And let me tell you, Ashley, when that water hit my feet, it was cold. Now, I did stay in there for about 5 minutes, and so it the coldness wore off, if you wanted to call it that. Like I got a little bit used to it, but I did get in there, right? So now we're back to the house. I get all my stuff kind of packed up, ready for the next morning. Then there was quite a few people at the house. We had a pasta dinner. They made pasta. I'm going to go ahead and admit that I did not release a podcast that day. I got called out several times of, hey, what happened to today's podcast? But with all the stuff that was going on, I forgot. I forgot. I didn't forget about you, the listener. But I did forget, and so I apologize.
I think we can forgive you. You were a little busy.
I was a little busy and a little, my brain. And then the winds came, Ashley. The wind picked up. It was cold. It was windy. So when we went to bed, again, I'm still thinking, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I talked to my wife. I said, okay, she's like, how are you feeling? I said, I have three goals for tomorrow. Okay. I want to get on and off the course safely. That's my number one goal at this point,
For sure,
right?
for sure.
I want to enjoy the course as much as I can, have fun, see the scenery, do all the things, right? And then I just want to do the best that I possibly am able to do, right? I mean, I did want to do my best, right? So those are my three goals. Be safe, enjoy the experience, just do the best I can, no expectations, okay? All right.
Awesome.
That brings us to race morning.
Yes. Here we
Okay,
go.
here we go. Get up. It's calm and there's no wind. It's just
Oh my
calm
gosh.
initially. It's just calm. And
It's
the
a
reason I can
miracle.
tell, yep, there's palm trees in the yard and they're not moving.
Oh.
And while it's still dark out, you can see that there's no clouds in the sky. It's
Oh
just a
my
clear,
gosh.
calm day.
Oh my gosh.
So you
What
know what I
relief
did? So you know what I
did
did,
you do?
Ashley? I unpacked my transition bag and I took my carbon shoes. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do the best. I'm just gonna do the best I can. And if for some reason I have a good swim and I have a great bike and I fall short on the run, I'll never know, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and put the carbon shoes. So for those of you that have been wondering, I did take my carbon shoes to the race. Okay.
I am team carbon shoes, so
I know
I
you
think that
are.
was
I
a
know you are.
great decision.
Yeah, that was the only good decision I made that day. Okay. So we had decided to get to transition later than normal because it was still cold.
Yep,
Okay.
I've done that before too.
And we were very close. So normally I get to transition as soon as transition opens. I get everything set up and then I just stand around. Well, we've all agreed, Brian and I agreed, there's no
It's
point in
too
doing
cold.
that.
Nope, too
Too
cold.
cold, right? So we got to transition. Transition closed at 6:30. We got there about 5:30. It was Brian, myself, Monica, and Lisa. Now, Lisa was doing the run portion of the relay, but she was still going down there in the beginning. So we get to the area and there's a lot of cars. So we bail out. Brian and I grab our bags. Lisa goes with us. Monica takes the car, and the three of us walk to transition. Okay. Now Brian and I were racked next to each other because we had concurrent numbers, right? So he was opposite of me. We get there. I'm putting my stuff together. Now it's cold, actually. I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast at this point, but it's cold. So I
How
did,
cold? How cold was
it
it?
was 40, 47 degrees. I did something I've never done before, and that is I prepared for a morning clothes bag. So the finish line was over a mile from bike transition. And so they were advising everybody to go ahead and put it together a morning clothes bag, not only so that you'd be warm in the morning, but so that after the race you had something to put on because they said after you got off the course, your body would cool down and you would actually become cold again, right?
Yep, I believe that. Yep, I hate that post-workout, post-training chills. Yeah,
So
for sure.
I had my good flip-flops. I had like sweat yoga type pants on, a t-shirt and a hoodie that I was going to put in my morning clothes bag, right? Monica had agreed to take my phone. I was going to leave my glasses in my transition bag. That was my plan. That was my strategy. I look up and Brian's gone. He's gone, like disappeared. I don't know if he's already set his stuff up, if he's been abducted by some triathlon rival group. I don't know. All I know is he's gone. And it's well documented on the podcast that I can't see without my glasses. I get lost. I have to buddy up with someone. I freaking panic. I'm
Oh my gosh.
cold. So I reach to get my jacket out of my morning clothes bag and I rip it right down the seam. And so now I'm like, what do I do? Right?
Oh
Because I'm like,
no.
I can't turn in my morning clothes bag with clothes that I do want back with this big gaping hole down the side of it. So in a
Oh my gosh.
panic, I did the only thing I knew to do at that point.
Which is,
I called Monica, Brian's
of
wife.
course, of course.
I called Monica. I was like, "Where are you?" And she's like, "I'm walking to the thing." I was like, "I need help. Like, I ripped my morning clothes bag. I had walked over there, and they didn't seem like there was any extra bags or whatever."
Oh
And
my
so
gosh.
she shared her location. I was able to track her. I gave her my morning clothes bag, my glasses, and my cell phone. Okay.
Oh my
I
gosh.
had with me my, and because they're calling over the PA. You got 10 minutes, 10
Time to
minutes, 10
go,
minutes. I
time
mean,
to go.
they are pushing you out the door. So she came in so clutch because I had such a high level of anxiety. But now I'm by myself again. So I get my wetsuit put on, no Tri-Glide because I was going to borrow some from Richard and I didn't know where he was either.
Oh my gosh.
So I get my wetsuit on,
Oh my gosh.
I get my earplugs in, I get my neoprene hat on, I get my swim hat on, I got my boots on. I wore those neoprene boots,
I would
right?
too. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm standing in the sand. I seat myself about 43 to 45 or whatever that number is. Rick Crippen finds me.
Oh, thank
He
goodness.
comes over. He's like, "Hey, how you feeling?" Right.
He
So
saved
we
the
talk.
day.
He did. He talked. We talked for a few minutes. The pros are already out of the water
Oh my
before we
gosh.
know it. The line to get in the water crossed the bike path, and so
Oh.
they were holding us up until the bikes were clear, and then you had to run across the path all at one time to get as many. And so everybody got mixed up.
Oh
So I
my gosh.
wasn't with my swim group anymore. So at this point, I'm just like, I just need to get in the water
Yeah, you just need to go.
as soon as possible. Okay.
Right.
So all of that is the lead up to the race.
Yes. And so in this moment, I think there's a valuable lesson that needs to be said here.
Yep.
You can only count on women.
Well, at this point, I can certainly not argue with you. Because she came in so
Yeah, she
clutch
did.
for me.
Shout out to
Oh my God.
Monica.
Shout out to Monica for sure. Oh my God. Okay. So we're about ready to get in the water. And I am preparing myself for the cold. And I realize I don't even know what the course is shaped like. Like
Oh, no.
I don't even know, I'm 100% sure I know which direction that I'm going. And you know, the logical thing would be just follow the person in front of you. But
Right,
there's
no.
no guarantee in an
No.
Ironman swim
Nope.
that's a proven technique, right?
It is not right.
Yeah. So I get in the water. The water actually at this point is not as cold as I had made it out to be in my head. So that was good.
That is very
The
good.
water wasn't as cold as I had thought it would be. I get out. I get so you swim straight out about, we'll just say about 100 feet. You make a left turn. So now the race course, now that it's been redirected, is all left turns instead of it being all right turns, which it would have been originally, which would have favored me, you know, heavily. I make the left turn, and I had told myself I was going to sight more often.
Okay.
Because I wanted to swim straight. And so I was sighting probably every other stroke,
Okay, all
but
right.
looking at my Garmin, I actually did swim pretty straight. So I get
All
out,
right.
I make the first turn, before I know it, I make the second turn. Now I'm headed out towards open ocean. You make the third turn, and now you're coming across. So now we're like swimming parallel with what the beach would be.
Okay.
And now we actually start to feel the swells of the ocean. So you're going up and down. There's no waves, but you feel your
Yeah.
body going up and down, right?
Yeah.
Now I have to say, this was the most physical swim that I have ever done. And when I say that, I mean physical contact. There were people not just swimming over you. They were pulling on you. They were punching at you. They were elbowing at you. I mean, it was like Mario Kart on water out there. And I swallowed so much salt water.
Oh
Like
no.
I would look up to sight and someone would just splash water right
Oh
in your
my
face.
gosh.
And it was the saltiest water I have ever tasted in my entire
Oh
life. It was
no.
only yesterday. I had a sore on my tongue from the salt. It just started to feel better yesterday. It's been
Oh
4 days, I
my
think.
gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, so I get out there, manage the swells. I make the fifth turn, no,
Okay.
fourth turn, whatever.
Yes,
We
fourth
head
turn.
we fourth turn. We make it head back. Now we're headed into the sun. We're all
Oh.
just blind as bats at this point.
Yeah.
Now I have tinted goggles. Okay,
Yeah,
and what
I
I
don't need it
didn't
so
real.
much.
Yeah, and what I didn't realize is when I got close enough, I was actually sighting the second turn buoy, not the fifth turn buoy. So I was significantly off course for a period of time on this back stretch, right? But it was fine. I realized it. Like somehow in my mind, I knew to question it. I was like,
Yeah.
is that the right buoy I'm seeing? Because it's a pretty tight course now that they put it in this little harbor. So I make the fifth turn, and now I'm headed to the last stretch. The sixth turn puts you right back into the corral or the boat ramp area, right? I
Right.
come out of the water 42 minutes, 48 seconds. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not bad.
No,
that
very
is
respectable.
Absolutely not bad. Yeah.
And you still have all your teeth.
I still have all my teeth. I wasn't too sick from the salt. But now my transition's come into question, of course.
Of course. Right? Now, this is where you took your nap, obviously.
This is where I took my nap because I was exhausted. It was a very physically demanding experience, all the emotions of all the things going on, you know, the separation anxiety I had from Brian and the, the emotional connection I made with Monica. Like it was just a lot to take in. So I took a little siesta.
Yeah, so much.
Next to the bike. No, it was a long run. It was a long run. So I have it clocked at 0.3 mile, if that's accurate. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not 100% sure it's accurate in a second.
Okay.
So click my watch, 42 seconds or 42 minutes, 48 seconds. I make the run. Now we run kind of down this narrow pathway between a curb and the fence that makes up bike transition, right?
Right.
And I want to say it's about 3 foot wide. You know, it's carpeted at this point, but okay. It's going to be the same pathway that bike in takes up, right? So later in the day, this is going to be the same narrow pathway. And it wasn't a straight shot. There were actually some turns that you had to go around light poles. There were two pretty crazy looking turns you had to make. So it was a run. So I get the run. I do jog it. I don't walk it. I do jog it. I'm not sprinting, but I do jog it. I elect to keep my wetsuit on as long as possible.
Okay.
So I skip the wetsuit strippers or peelers.
Okay.
Yep. So
I know we're supposed to call them peelers, but they're still strippers.
Yeah. So I skipped the wetsuit peelers. I wore my wetsuit. I wore my goggles. I wore my cap. I wore everything to my bike. Right.
Okay.
And so when I get to my bike, now I've got to take everything off by myself.
Right.
And I don't have great balance. I'm trying to lean on some things. Right. And now
in transition.
Now I have to completely dry off. Right. Because I'm wet.
Right. Right.
And I'm super concerned about being on the bike while I'm wet. Yeah. And so I had to completely dry off because I knew that I was concerned about being out on the bike course and being wet and cold. But even after getting dried off really good, my arm sleeves were difficult to get lined up. My calf sleeves were difficult to get on. The full zip Pure Ride cycle jersey, that was the easiest thing to get on. 100%.
Best decision.
That was no problem. Best decision. I elected not to clip my shoes to my bike ahead of time, right? So that was another thing that impacted my transition time. So now I'm having to run with my cycle shoes on, right? So I hate doing. I cross the mount line. Now I go across the mount line pretty far because, you know, it's always congested. So I go across the mount line probably 15 to 20 feet. I have my shoes on, so I clip in. Right as I get ready to take off, some other athlete pulls his bike right in front of mine. And I was like, really? Like I was far enough away from the mount. Yeah, so I had to stop. Apparently, in all this melee, I forgot to hit the lap button on my watch. So
you
think the tracker shows that I have long transition times? On my Garmin watch, it shows I have a 3-hour and 40-minute transition. And my transition was 56 miles. Yeah, I didn't notice it until I got back into transition that it wasn't, that I didn't set it right.
I mean, I think we've all been there, maybe not for 56 miles, but I mean, yeah. I've made it a couple miles where I'm like, oh, I forgot to hit the button on my watch. The whole time.
The whole time. Now, fortunately, I was watching my bike computer,
right.
So I didn't need to look at my watch while I was on the bike. But yes, yeah, so you think my transition times are bad? You don't even know. So anyway, so we head out on the bike and it is windy. Now it's windy. And I gotta say, and this is not an indictment on California or the department that's responsible for maintaining the roads necessarily. But those were the absolute worst road conditions I have ever ridden a bike on. They were bad. They were so rough. Mm. So many potholes. There were water bottles scattered everywhere on course. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know those torpedo water bottles that sit between your aero bars and have yep. the integrated straw? There yep. was one of those that was on course at one point. Somebody lost that bottle.
They were really upset about that.
Yeah, not just the bottle behind them. Like, they lost their center mounted bottle. Legit
bottle.
Yeah, right out of transition, lost his Garmin computer right in front of me. He had to stop and get it. I'm sure it cracked the screen as hard as it hit the asphalt.
Gosh.
We went through a low water crossing. The water was about a foot deep.
What?
A
foot.
A foot deep. We were going up and over curbs. We went through sand, loose gravel.
This is almost like off-road.
Oh yeah, it was like an Xterra. The one thing we didn't have to do, because I want to be fair, is we didn't have to go through that gate. They actually opened a hole in the fence for us to go through. But just past that, it was single file, no passing, into a hard turn. When we got on the base is when I realized I wasn't prepared for the hills. And I consider myself to be a pretty good climber in general. And when I say I wasn't prepared for the hills, I mean that by saying my bike was not set up for the hills.
Okay.
So I've said to a few people to do the race over again, I would set my bike up differently. Okay.
Right.
So this is what I mean by this. These are the things, and I've given it some thought. These are the things that I would do differently. I would have ran shallow wheels, meaning I ran a disc wheel on the back and a 60 millimeter. Yep, a 60 millimeter deep wheel. Now I know Lionel Sanders did, and Sam Long and all those guys, but I'm not them.
No.
So I would not do that. I would have put a climbing cassette because I own one. And these are things that I own, actually. I own shallow wheels, so I could have brought them. I own a climbing cassette. Could have put it on, but didn't know. Didn't think about it. Didn't know. And I would have turned the synchro shift feature on my DI2 system off.
Okay? Interesting. Okay.
Yes. So just to recap, my bike is set up to where I don't control the front and rear derailleur independently. So what I do is it's pre-programmed that when the rear cassette gets to a certain gear, it moves the front chain or the chain down from the big ring to the little ring, and then it bumps the rear cassette over three gears. And then you continue up the cassette from there. But what happened is we would be going on a pretty good flat into a hard, steep climb. And so I was faced with having to shift seven gears in advance to be in the right gear to go up. And so I was just free spinning. And so I was losing speed on the flat because I couldn't catch up.
Right.
And then be able to catch up going up the hill. So that's for sure one thing that I would do. And then just from a personal standpoint, I think I need to add some shims to my new aero bar setups. And if that doesn't get me more comfortable, then I need to go back and have a bike fit done to it. So, but the wheels, the cassette and the synchro shift are all things that I could have done had I known to do those relative to the elevation, that we were going to be experiencing.
Would you, have brought your road bike instead of the tri bike?
Yeah, so that is a great question because there were times throughout the race that I thought I would have been better off on a road bike than I was on my tri bike. And I think it was a combination of the wind, and I wasn't comfortable. I bet I wasn't in aero 15% of the entire race. I was upright. And I was really, actually, I was fighting my bike There were two times in particular I was convinced I had a flat. One time I actually stopped, pulled over to the side, got off my bike to look at it. I was convinced the front tire was flat. It was just so hard to steer. I was just never comfortable. I fought that bike the entire race course. I had never been so excited to get off my bike as I
I
was.
know that feeling, right?
And
But
at least
sitting upright, our tri bikes are not meant for us to sit upright. They are meant for
they're
us to be in the
not.
aero. So
They are.
for that much time upright, oh my gosh, that would be miserable.
Yeah, and at least anybody out there say, well, you just didn't train enough. And that's true. I didn't. But I've heard other athletes give their race reports, one of them being a professional, and their race report was very similar to my account of the bike course. So,
Yes. Yes, you are not alone in that, for sure.
not alone. So treacherous conditions, windy, hilly, potholy, single file, speed zone. Apparently, two professional athletes were initially disqualified because of the speed zone. I read today they've
Oh my
appealed
gosh.
it and they've had their appeal overturned, but
Oh, good.
they are enforcing that speed zone, and rightfully so. It was a very steep
Right.
air. It was a very steep area, but I think because the speed zone is so heavily enforced, instead of going 25 miles an hour, I was probably going 12 miles an hour because I didn't want to risk,
Right.
being disqualified.
So you had your zip-up jersey, but you didn't have any other
Yeah.
layers. And were you
Nope.
warm enough?
I was.
Good.
I was fully dry, so it wasn't wet. Now I didn't consume as much fluid on the bike as I thought that I would or should, but it ultimately didn't become an issue. Now, I will say that when I was on the swim, I felt my right calf. You get that feeling like it could cramp. It just kind of whatever.
Well,
And
the
then
salt water
and
will
th
fix that.
I thought so. And then on the bike, I felt like my right quad. Is that the muscle on top of your thigh, on the top?
Yep, that's the
Yeah,
quad.
I felt it kind of like it was acting up a little bit, but neither of those really caused me any problems
Good.
later on in the race. So I think everything was fine. Now I hit every other part of my nutrition. I hit my gels right on schedule, so that was good. I come back into the race area, and now we have to go down this real narrow pathway. So I elected not to come out of my shoes because there were two sections where you had to go around these light poles. There were real tight turns. I left my shoes on, so that meant I was still clipped in. So now I'm wearing my race shoes through transition. I get to my bike rack. I have to put my socks on, my carbon shoes. The tongue of my shoe on the one foot didn't set right, so I had to take the shoe back off. Reposition it, and then because I hadn't practiced because of how cold it has been in North Texas, I wasn't comfortable that I could execute the pee on the bike maneuver. I had to make a porta potty stop coming out of
So
transition,
you were
right? And
not, in fact, cooking a hamburger. You
I
just had
was
a pit stop.
no, I was on a pit stop. I was not cooking a hamburger. But honestly, so I yeah, in a 7 minute 19 second transition, I guess we should share that I had a 3:17 bike split, which is
Which is
funny,
great.
right? Because if you remember, I had said early on that Kurt Madden in the Tri.10 asked me what my target power range was, which I told him 170. He said that's going to give you about a 320 bike split. Okay, so I didn't
He
know
was
this at the
spot on.
didn't know this at the time, but he was in fact spot on because when I looked back at my numbers, I averaged 174 watts on the bike, right? And so, I mean, that's how smart these guys are. Like he knew 170, my size on that course was going to net out about a 320 bike split.
That's
Yeah,
amazing.
amazing. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that. But anyway, maybe something to that. I don't know.
No, that's impressive.
So then I was out on the run course. So I hit the run course. Now I've got my carbon shoes on. I've got my handheld water bottle. I still got my Pure Ride jersey. Now my Pure Ride jersey. Now we have to be fair. This is a cycle jersey. And it was designed to be worn with bib shorts. The back of the jersey is significantly longer than the front of the jersey.
Yeah.
So that when you're in that arrow tuck position, it has nice coverage. It's the opposite effect when you're running. So it was like I was running with like a 12-year-old girl belly shirt who was at cheerleader camp. So I'm constantly like tugging at it, but like a 1-inch strip of my belly is hanging out over my tri shorts.
Welcome to women's clothing.
Yeah, I'm sure I look super cool at that point.
You know what? But I bet you had awesome deep pockets on the back.
I do, so deep that I was struggling to get my arm bent up back in them to get them out. But they are so deep.
You could have carried a lot of things. That's awesome. I could have
carried so many things. So I took my UCAN energy in transition, which the only reason I was able to do that was because it wasn't a super hot race. So that fluid hadn't been sitting out in the sun all day. Yep. Because at this point, I think the air was 59, 60 degrees. Perfect. It was low 60s for sure. Oh, it really was. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. The run is two loops.
Okay.
It's an out and back. So you, within, I would say the first mile, you pass the second turnaround. So you pass it. Other athletes are already hitting the second loop.
Right.
You run through kind of like a little marina through a residential area. You go down to the beach level, and you run along what they call the strand, which there's a lot of businesses and maybe some nicer, very heavily spectated. I mean, spectated, right? Then you run. So and when I say run, Ashley, I was walking up the ramp to what is the pier. And then you are back over to the higher street level.
Okay.
And you run along the residential areas. There were a lot of people in their yards, blaring music, just having a good old time.
That's so fun.
It's several up and down. Several times you go down that steep hill, back down to the beach level, and then back up. I walked all those up and downs, and that was my plan. My plan going into this run was to manage my effort, try to keep a constant effort, not a constant pace, knowing that going up the hills or down the hills, my pace was going to fluctuate, but it was my effort that I wanted to maintain the same. I did the out and back. I hit the second turnaround, and now I've got like 7 miles to go. And oh my God, it seemed like I was like 7 more miles. And I don't know how you do things, Ashley. I'm always one that I'm dividing things into sections. So like, for example, when I was on the bike course and it's 56 miles, when I get to the first, 15 miles, I'm like, okay, I'm almost a third of the way done. Right. Then I get to 25 miles, 28 miles. I'm halfway done. Right. Same thing on the run. When I do the first 3 miles, I'm like, I'm a fourth of the way, the fourth mile, I'm a third of the way. Yeah. I do all that. Right. Now I'm like, God, I get hit that turn. I'm like, I'm only half of the way.
That's not a good feeling.
No, I'm only halfway. But I persevere. I see Lisa on course a couple of times.
Good. Okay.
A lot of energy. I managed to get to the final stretch. And I could see the finish line in the distance. And Brian and I had walked it the day before. And I was like, all right, now I need to go. I need to just give it everything I got. Now, everything I got at that point wasn't a lot, but I gave it everything I got. And I ran as hard as I could through the finish line. And not that big a deal, I guess, but I finished right behind Andrew Messick of Ironman CEO fame. They were calling him in was crossing the finish line. Yep. And then Brian and Lisa were still in the finisher corral, because as it turned out, Lisa finished like a minute 30 seconds in front of me on the day. So that was super cool. And I was exhausted. That was the hardest race I have ever done.
So compared to all your others, this is the hardest?
Yes, I even think, and so this will now mean, and I won't count sprints for a second because I don't not that they don't count, but off the top of my head, I don't remember them. I've done, this is my sixth 70.3, and I did the one full. I'm not counting the relay because I did the swim. I think this race was harder for me this weekend than my full distance race was.
Wow.
I
So
think I
if you
worked
want
harder.
an easy course, Oceanside 70.3 is not it.
Now, if you are looking to set a PR, Oceanside 70.3 is not the course for you. Now, if you're looking to for a beautiful experience, if you're looking to ride a bike course that is unavailable for biking any other time, if you want to run next to the ocean, if you want to swim with 3,000 of your friends in the harbor, this is the race for you, for sure.
But
I
it's not
don't
for
regret,
me.
yeah, and I don't regret. And just so I'm clear, I had a great experience. I did not go out there to set a PR. I went out there for the experience, and I had a great experience. I had a blast being in California. I had a blast hanging out with Brian and Monica and Lisa and Kristen and the whole group. That is what I'll remember from this experience, not the fact that it took me 6 hours and 30 minutes and change to get across the finish line.
Right. Yep. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, we get back to the house, we get cleaned up, the whole crew comes over, they make burgers, we compare notes on the day. I get everything packed it up exactly as I packed it the second time in Dallas. Right, weigh it to confirm that it's 53 pounds and not 58. Brian gets up early. He drives me to the airport. I get to the airport in San Diego. So I flew into Orange County. I'm flying out of San Diego because it's
Yep,
cheaper
I
for
do
me.
that too. Yep.
Yep. And so I get to the airport. I can't do the self-serve kiosk. It won't let me for whatever reason. I go over to the ticket guy. He has a hard time pulling me up. For a moment, I thought I was at the wrong airport.
I would have done the exact same thing.
I asked him, I'm like, I am at the right place. He goes, yeah, you're at the right place. He says, what do you got? I said, I've got my bike. He said, no problem, prints it out. You know what? He never did.
He never weighed the
He
bike.
never weighed it. And I was thinking to myself, I could have put so many things in that bike box had I known you weren't
That's
going to weigh it.
awesome.
Yeah,
That's
because
awesome.
I got the parts of the bike that I knew wouldn't make weight, but also didn't look like a weapon in my suitcase.
Oh my gosh. That's
Yeah, so I get
hilarious.
so now I've got this 50-pound backpack and this 80-pound small suitcase that I'm dragging around. I get through security, no problem. My plane gets bumped a couple of times, not a big deal. Get on the plane, and thank God it's not even a full flight, right? So
Oh my gosh.
I've got my suitcase up top, and I've got my backpack transition bag in the seat. The flight attendant comes by, and she's like, "Hey," she looks at my bag, and I was like, "No." I said, "I'm going to put it at my feet as soon as I make sure that the middle person gets here."
Oh, I'm frozen. You're back, you're back. You said you're gonna put it up. You'll put it at my feet.
So I'm going to put it at my feet as soon as the person in the middle row gets here. And she goes, "No, just put it up top." And I was like, "Well, I already have my suitcase up top. I didn't want to take two spots." She looked at me. She goes, "You're such a nice guy. Just put
Yeah,
it up
you
there."
are.
She goes, "Just put it up. Just put it up there." So I
That's
did. And of
awesome.
course, I didn't realize that they were closing the door at that point. Like they,
Right.
she knew there was no more people getting on the plane.
Right. You were
And
still being a
then,
good guy.
yeah, then I made it home, and everything was good, right?
Awesome.
So I do have to report that my bike is still boxed up. I have yet to unbox it. I have yet to wash my wetsuit, right? So I still have some things that I need to do. But
Yes.
that was my Oceanside 70.3 experience.
Awesome. It sounds very challenging, but also very rewarding.
It was.
Good.
It was. Yeah.
Okay, couple more questions.
Okay.
Okay, there were a couple of big hills. Did that
Yes.
impact the run?
Yeah, I would say it had to, right?
Right.
There were, and I, you know, we kind of I don't want to say I glossed over it, but we talked about it. I didn't have my bike set up for it. So when I say I didn't have my bike set up for it, not only just the wind, but we were going up the hill and there were some athletes that either elected to or were forced to. I don't know because I didn't stop to talk to them, even though you might think that I might have looking at my splits. That I stopped and I was interviewing people for the podcast during the race. That is not the truth. But there were people that were walking. And so I was in my easiest gear and I was still having to stand up and I was just mashing the gears, right? So I think my max power was like 4+, maybe even
Oh my gosh.
500, right? Because I was
Wow.
just mashing gears. And there were other athletes that weren't walking, but they were doing what I heard described in California as the paper boy, which I've never heard that term before. But they were basically just doing their own switchbacks. They were just going from one side to the other, kind of back and forth, and that's how they were managing up.
The zigzag, make it up the hill.
Yeah, like a zigzag. So yeah, it had to, but I would say I think I ran the half marathon as fast as I could. And looking at my other races, it's my second fastest 70.3 half marathon. Or
That's
Oregon, I had
awesome.
a Oregon, I had a great race. I ran the Oceanside half marathon faster than I did Waco, faster than Galveston, Chattanooga,
Wow.
and Buffalo Springs. So I can't be disappointed
No, absolutely
with
not.
my
That's
run, with my
awesome.
run. Yeah.
Yep. That's amazing. Well, oh, how about your one thing we didn't talk about was your pre-race food. How was that? What did you do?
Yeah, so I had to change things up because I'll say I didn't have to, right? Brian, he said several times, "Hey, if you need to do something different, do something different." But I was really out there enjoying the experience, and so we went. I went where they went, and I picked off the menu. So Thursday night, I had a pot roast grilled cheese sandwich, which is not something I would have normally eat.
It sounds delicious, though.
It was really good. It was on
Yeah.
like rye bread.
That sounds
And then,
amazing.
yeah. And then when, or fr I'm sorry, Friday, I had pork belly mac and cheese,
Oh,
which
yum.
was so good. And then, like I said, they made pasta at the house. And so I ate like a little bit of pasta, which I normally wouldn't have done. But I think, and not, I mean, hey, this is, we're all in this together. We all go through the same things, right? One of the things that I have a high level anxiety about is my body processing things at the wrong time race morning, right? We'll just say that. But I was fortunate enough because I had picked up 2 hours that my internal clock was such that I was able to process certain things in time. And
Awesome.
so it was never an issue for me
That's great.
on the race course. And that's the thing that I worry about, to be
Mean, I think
honest.
that's the thing everybody worries about. I think
Yeah.
we all worry about that.
Yep. So that did not negatively impact me.
That's why we all have multiple stops at the porta potty before the race starts.
Yes.
Okay, one last question.
Okay.
Did we ever figure out where Brian was in
Yeah,
transition?
we did. So apparently, and that's a great question. So apparently, Brian, who is still on California time, right? He must have fallen victim to processing his food while in transition because I found out later he had disappeared to the bathroom
Okay.
is where he was.
All right. So I won't give Brian a hard time about it because I mean, you can only control that so much, but come on, dude. Mike needed you.
He was my guide.
I
But
know. Jeez.
and while Brian, I think he was happy with his race. I don't think he got the result that he had hoped for. He still had a great race in my mind. I think he finished 20+ minutes in front of me.
Oh, I didn't think it was that. It was close, but it wasn't.
yeah
I thought it was
his,
like
his
15.
was it
Anyway,
okay
yeah, something like that.
His goal was to beat Lisa's relay team, and he
And he did.
definitely beat. Yeah, he definitely beat Lisa's relay team. So
Awesome.
I think he was ultimately happy with what his results. But he said that it was windy, the roads were rough, and I think he was probably a little bit more prepared for the hills. And Honestly, Ashley, I've got no one to blame but myself, right? And I've said it on the podcast before. I've been running figure eights in my neighborhood. And while it did make me mentally strong, I could have ran outside of my neighborhood and experienced some elevation change that would have prepared me a little bit better for this course. So I would just say to the listeners, don't discount that. You know, if you have the ability, definitely look at the course elevation maps, talk to some people, and make sure you adjust your training accordingly, because I did not do a great job of that. I probably should, in hindsight, have gone 2 miles north, not 2 miles, 2 hours north of here, and rode in a hillier area a little bit on my bike. But I think it was really, and I've got 1,000 excuses. So don't get me wrong.
Right.
It was cold. You know, it was the first race of the season. It was the experience. And so I think the next race, whatever the next race is, I'll better prepare myself for it. And hopefully the results will show.
Now, I think you did a great job. A lot of good effort on a really hard course. I think you have a lot to be proud about.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the support. All the support from everybody that sent me a message or, you know, sent me well wishes. And I'm going to take this opportunity to say, if there's anybody out there that has been texting me because you happen to have my phone number, it has in fact changed. So I won't be getting any of those messages. So send me a message through Facebook or Instagram, or what would be really great, Ashley, would be if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't already joined the Everyday Ironman Facebook group. We would highly encourage you to join the Facebook. Just do a little introduction of yourself, what your goals are, what your questions are. There are several athletes in the group that are sharing their knowledge, that are encouraging. It's a safe place. And so we definitely would welcome you into that environment.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I love the group. Plus, I mean, there's always good laughs in there too.
Yeah, 100%. There's a couple 100%. Jokesters in there. It's all in good fun.
It is all in good fun. Yes, but it's an excellent group full of lots of advice and support. And if you haven't joined, you should.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I think we covered everything, right?
I think so. I think we answered all my questions.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you helping me tell my story. We're looking forward to tracking you in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. So, you know, maybe we're going to get a race preview from you. Maybe I'm hoping we can lock you in for a race recap.
Of course.
Nothing else. Okay.
Absolutely. Awesome. I'm good for it.
You're good for that?
I'm good for it.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, then. So anything else? I mean, you're the host of the show. I'm the guest this time. So
I think we are good to go. I hope we satisfied our listeners' questions. I think we're all kind of disappointed that you were not napping in T1.
I was not napping in T1. I wish I was napping in T1.
I really wanted to learn that skill of how to actually nap in T1. And I think Jim Risto, I think he's going to up his game on how to stay in transition longer. Just so he can beat you.
Well, he's got a race coming up. So don't think we won't be tracking his times very close.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we will have lots of feedback for him, too. Well-deserved feedback.
Awesome.
All right, Mike. Hey, you have a good one. And thanks for letting me do this.
Absolutely. Thanks for helping out.
All right.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you have any questions, advice that you would like to share, or would like to be a guest on the show and share your story, you can email everydayironmanpodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to follow on Instagram @everydayironmanpodcast. Until next time, keep moving forward.